Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in to Mind Management with yours truly, Sherita Black. The topic for this episode is budgeting your mind. So let's just jump right in. When our finances appear to be unmanageable or chaotic, we often seek out ways to bring them under subjection. One way that we do this is to devise or construct a budget. Well, what is a budget, you ask? A budget is a plan for organizing resources and expenses. So before I go any further, I must mention that the focal point in our topic is not necessarily the word budget itself. It's more so what the word budget is representing, which is a plan that will provide structure, order, and clarity to our finances. Just like we need a plan to manage our finances, we also need a plan to help control our mind. An effective way of accomplishing this is by a method described as compartmentalizing. This method is used to organize things such as our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions in our mind so that they're easier to manage. So for this method to be effective, it must be utilized in the proper manner, because if it's applied in an unhealthy manner, then this mechanism can do more harm than good. So when we return, we will discuss how to compartmentalize your thoughts and also what not to do when using this technique. So get your pen and paper ready to take notes and stay tuned. And we're back. Let's get started with how to compartmentalize our emotions in a healthy way. So let's remind you again what the definition of compartmentalize means. It is to organize things in your mind so that they are easier to manage. So in the case of emotions, this mechanism, as we stated earlier, can quickly take an unhealthy turn if we don't do it properly, because our emotions are very sensitive. So if we mess up, we can actually do more harm than good. So we're going to talk about a few things to keep in mind so that we can have a positive outcome. So the first thing that we want to do is identify your emotions. A common habit that we often have, that we exhibit, is to label our emotions without actually identifying them. So what do I mean by that? For example, anything that I feel that makes me down, I automatically will connect it to a depression or sadness, or anything that may trigger my defense mode may be connected to anxiety. So instead of labeling our emotions, we want to identify them. We want to start looking a little deeper. Stop using terms that we know already, such as depression or anxiety. We want to feel what our emotions are communicating. What are they saying to us? Where are your relationship issues arising from? Is it somehow connected to my anger management? Is it somehow connected to a childhood trauma that's affecting me? Ask yourself what, why, how, and who about everything that you're feeling. So this is going to be the first step in categorizing your emotions. There's sometimes a lot of difficulty in this because we've practiced the unhealthy habit of labeling our emotions with labels that we've already known in the past instead of identifying them. So sometimes this step may take a little bit more practice, but once you practice it and get the hang of doing this, then you'll be able to move forward or move past this step. So the second thing that you want to do, once you've mastered the first step, then it makes the step two a little bit easier, which is grouping them together. So we're unable to group feelings or emotions together if we have not yet identified the emotions. So this is why it's so important to master step number one first when utilizing this technique or mechanism to help us control our minds. So number two, group them together. So when we're talking about grouping them together, what does this mean? We're talking about looking for similarities and differences in our feelings. We got to be aware that whatever we're feeling is a result of our emotions. So whichever emotion leads to similar feelings, usually it's connected. So while we're connecting these related emotions and feelings, we group them together mentally. At the same time, anything that feels different or contradicts another emotion or feeling, then you want to put that in a separate group. Because any emotions that are opposing each other, they are not to be grouped together. They are not in the same category. So therefore, you wouldn't want to group those things together or even nearby each other. So you may be confused about how you can have opposing emotions. So let me give you an example of that. Look at an example of a mother-daughter relationship. A mother loves her daughter to death, but the daughter always has a habit or two that the mother despises. I don't know about anybody else, but I can definitely attest to that, having a daughter. And having a mother-daughter relationship, I could say that I love my daughter to death, but she has habits that I despise, and I'm sure it's also the other way around. So if the feelings of love are put together with what she feels towards these bad habits, she will neither be able to express her love properly, nor will she be able to be strict against the bad habits. So what does that mean? That means that if I try to put the things that I love about her together with those things that I don't like about her character or habits that she may have, then I won't ever be able to express the proper balance of love that I have, nor will I be able to provide any consequence to help break those bad habits. So I will never be able to get the balance that I need because I have two opposing feelings that I'm trying to put together to express all at the same time. So it's not going to work. So that's the example that we have for grouping them together and how you can have opposing emotions that can affect or be contradictory to how you categorize or group your emotions. So step number three is avoid false negativity. So when you're struggling to build connections in your emotions, you can be misled by false negativity. It is usually prevalent in negative emotions. So what happens is that you continue to relate events that aren't even close. For example, one day you failed to finish your work on time. The next day you had a bad hair day. So you connect it all to your bad time management. While that may be true for the first case, it is not necessarily relevant to the later matter. So it is a matter of connecting, creating false negativity by attempting to connect two events that don't even belong together. While just as the example stated, you may have failed to finish your work on time the previous day, And that may actually be connected to bad time management. You having a bad hair day and the next day may not have anything to do with time management, but just having more so to do with the fact that your curling iron may have been broken, or you didn't brush your hair the night before, or whatever the case may be, but it's not necessarily connected to the bad time management. So just because it's connected to one thing, it may not be connected to the other. It may not even be relevant at all. So you have to be extremely mindful in that case and focused so that you avoid linking false negatives together. When you're mastering the identification of emotions, this will help you out in this area as well. Number four is maintaining boundaries. Some emotions will bother you more than the rest. While that is normal, what isn't is if you just cannot shift your attention away from one compartment to the next. If you just are unable to shift your attention off that thing, that emotion, that feeling, that thought that is keeping your focus, that's the thing that is concerning. You have to maintain some limits. You have to maintain some boundaries so that the other compartments aren't left unattended. So you can't focus on the fact that you are struggling in one area, or this one work may be the thing that's on your mind and it may take all your attention, and therefore you can't focus at home, you can't focus with your children, you can't focus in other areas that you may be working in because the one area has taken all your attention and you're focused on that and leaving other areas unattended. You must have some limits. You must have some boundaries. For example, one thing that I had to learn to do with my work, I would constantly be at work and I would, in my mind, I would take work home with me. So I wasn't always present mentally at home with my children and my family as I should be, because my work was on my mind. So I had to learn how to cut my mind off when I got off work. And one thing that helped me to do that was to no longer take my laptop home, no longer take any paperwork home. Whenever I got off at that time, I left everything there, turned my work cell phone off so that I can be present in mentally and physically in my home or in my church or wherever I was else working, so that I would not bring all of those worries, all of those stresses into other areas. So overthinking in one part of your emotions can give you a false sadness, a false happiness, which is not good, a good mental state, either one of those. So the best thing to do is make sure that we are able to set and maintain clear boundaries between each compartment so that we can say, okay, I'm going to give this emotion, I'm going to give this thing this amount of thought, and then I'm cutting it off because I can't allow this one area to monopolize my entire day or my entire, time here. I can't give it 5 hours when I should have only given it 1 hour in this whole week. So we have to be able to maintain those boundaries because it's very important. So those are just four main things that help us to be able to compartmentalize our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings in healthy ways, and help us be able to have a more positive mindset. So before we conclude, I also shared that I would give some don'ts when it comes to compartmentalizing emotions, some things that we should not do. Because when we're focused on doing the right thing, it is easy to get pulled into a toxic routine without realization. So there's two specific mindsets that can prevail. So we have to do our best to keep them out of our routine. One of the things is very important and it is to avoid multitasking. Now, before I even go into any more information about that, I know that this is difficult when it comes to compartmentalizing and to not do it, especially as a woman, because we are naturally, it's just this thing that is naturally in us to multitask. We're supposed to be able to cook the dinner and bathe the kids and answer the phone and help with homework. We are naturally inclined to do these things, to be able to multitask or do several things at once. So this sometimes is very hard to do, and I can say I've experienced this as well. And most women do. This happens mostly when you're just starting off the process. Since there's a lot to deal with in your head, your focus keeps wandering from one compartment to the other. You will either want to go through different compartments at once, or your mind will be finding it hard to disconnect certain emotions from others. All that you can do in this case is practice, 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 practice. That's the only thing that's going to be able to help us to not multitask in our minds. We have to be able to shut some areas down and function in one area in our minds until we're done with that and set limits and then move on to the next thing. So consciously, we have to identify in our mind when we're doing this, when we're attempting to multitask, and then we have to practice sometimes a form of meditation can help us, where we stop thinking about everything and we just focus on our one thing to get us back centered or aligned in our mind. And then we're able to now focus and move on to the one thing. But the biggest way to work on this is just to continue to practice, catch it when we're doing it and to correct it as best as we can. One of the main aims of compartmentalizing emotions is to increase your mindfulness. So for forcing yourself to strictly keep all your attention in that one compartment unless you've fully dealt with it. That is the main objective. Once we've dealt with it, or once that time frame that we set has passed, then we can move on. And then the number two of the don'ts of compartmentalizing our emotions and our feelings is to stay away from denial. While we're avoiding multitasking, we may unintentionally keep avoiding a few compartments in particular. These are usually emotions that are very strong or hurtful. And we often in our minds will do that. We will push away those things that are very strong, those things that are very hurtful, because we don't want to deal with those things. But everything that we are dealing with in our mind, we must take some time to deal with it and not do it all at the same time while you're attempting to deal with something else. Because when we have, for example, when we have a situation where we're trying to deal with some hurt or some very strong feelings, and then we're trying to think also about how we're taking care of our family, any little thing that a child or a significant other may say may come across to you as if they're being hurtful or, you know, harmful to you, when in fact it's just where your mental state is in that moment. So because you have allowed compartments to cross, or your thoughts to come across the other thoughts, it can cause conflict, confusion, and make things a little bit more harmful, as we mentioned at the beginning. So denial is only going to make it harder for you to deal with this part of your mind. You can keep the dark thoughts in a faraway corner in your mind so that you're not constantly bothered. However, make sure that you find the right time to confront these feelings. So there's nothing wrong with us putting them in a place to where they don't seep out and come into other areas and cause us not to be able to function properly. However, we do have to still make that time to deal with these things, confront these things, confront these thoughts, confront these feelings of things that may have been harmful or hurtful or just things that we just haven't wanted to deal with. But if we ignore some emotions for long periods of time, these are some things that can lead to lifelong mental issues. For example, something that has happened bad in your past, with maybe something traumatic, maybe a relationship that has not been resolved, you will continuously avoid anything connected to that. But since you haven't confronted these feelings, they will keep getting stronger and stronger. So they don't go away. And sometimes we don't realize that there are things that we have put so far, these dark thoughts that are in faraway corners in our mind, we push them so far back that we forget that they even are there. We forget that they even exist. And I think another word for this is suppressed. So we suppress these thoughts, we suppress these feelings, we suppress these things, these harmful things that have happened to us to the point to where they don't even exist to us. It never happened. So then when you're going through life and it's been there for so long, it has affected different parts of your life and you don't even know it because, again, it's been a thought or feeling or emotion that has been suppressed. So now as you're going through life and something triggers these feelings, they come out and we have no understanding as to why we reacted a certain way or why am I thinking this way. Well, the thing is, these feelings, these emotions, they weren't gone. We just buried them so deep that we couldn't remember them. So when they come back up strong and strong, and we still have to confront these things. This is why sometimes we have traumatic experiences at young ages, and then we don't deal with them until we're in our 30s or 40s or 50s or even 60s, sometimes 70s, because we have pushed them so far back that we forgot to deal with them. So they get stronger and they get stronger. So then one day this compartment, what happens? It bursts. And then it takes over your mind and you're wondering, where are these thoughts coming from? Where are these things coming from? Then you become a different person when you're forcefully faced with these emotions. You don't have control when these emotions are triggered. When they're in your face, you lose control and you don't know what to do with these emotions because it's now the compartment that it was placed in, everything is came to the top and it has bursted out. And that happens to a lot of people, especially being in the field that I'm in counseling. This happens more often than we know. To avoid this type of situation where you won't know how to handle your thoughts when this happens, then you should come face to face with them bravely on your terms and at the right time. So this is why it's so important to, yes, keep them in a place to where they won't interject in other compartments. However, make sure that we go and reach back and pull those things out and still find that right time to deal with these emotions and confront these feelings. And so the last thing I want to say about compartmentalizing our thoughts in order to help control our mind is just keeping one thing in mind, that the way that we deal with our emotions is very unique. Each person is very unique. So there's not going to be one or two people that will deal with their emotions exactly the same. There is also no right or wrong way to compartmentalize them either. So just because I'm giving examples and saying it this way, or I'm telling you what I did, that doesn't mean that you have to do it the same way. Your way is not right or wrong. My way is not right or wrong. It's just how we are based on our own uniqueness. So with that being said, you just have to stay cautious, especially when you're in the process of dealing with these things, because there's a fine line in the process that will either encourage your social identity to grow or lead you to issues that are more lifelong mental issues, like we mentioned earlier, such as maybe multiple personality disorders or any other mental illness that could come from it. So with the above tips and everything that I mentioned before, just kind of get a final goal in your mind. Because when you get a final goal, then your brain will lead you in that right path. But we first have to do what we have to observe where we are. We have to set a goal, find out where we are and where are we going? Where do we want to go? When it comes to dealing with these emotions, these thoughts, and these feelings, how can we overcome it? How can we remove whatever barriers that may be blocking us overcoming, and then also adapt to any changes that we may need to make in order for us to have a positive mindset and be able to enjoy benefits of compartmentalizing our emotions rather than having the chaos that can be the result if we don't bring order to the thoughts and the feelings that we have in our minds. So I would like to say thank you for listening in and tuning in tonight to Mind Management. And I look forward to speaking to you again in the future. See you soon on the next episode. Thank you.